Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth, a sports Scales of Truth for you. Again, about the NBA. My last one was about the NBA as well, and really focusing on just my thoughts on Wemby and the Spurs. Since I spoke last, they're another whole round in and stolen home court, but are behind, rather, stolen home court, but did lose game two. Has some work to do for game three at home. As far as strategy, they might have injuries and stuff. But just my thoughts on Wemby right now. And I think I touched on it on a previous episode, but this is where Wemby can grow. It's luckily, I'm very lucky in my fandom because I'm organically a Kansas City Chiefs fan and seeing that struggle and then seeing what seemed like a generational talent, and I say seemed like because he had a shit year last year. And so I've been able to, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, I've been able to speculate on where are these people all time? Do they have a shot as an all-timer? And so I got to speculate that with organic fandom with Patrick Mahomes. And now I get to speculate it with Wembanyama. Now where we are, does he have a shot as an all-timer? Of course, that's it. He's too early in his career. We don't know. And so while game one was astounding, it was, you know, double overtime, and he showed a lot. Where Wemby's weaknesses are, it's going to be really simple. It's going to be kind of like, if you recall, maybe famously, I can't remember how famously, probably more typical now, but at least among Spurs fan, you knew, Pop would just give everybody an assignment for the summer. And we can see that. We have an assignment for the summer for Stephen Castle, and it's just getting a better handle with Fox out of the lineup. And, you know, usually Fox would kind of solidify that lead at the end of game one, wouldn't have gotten that close because it was turnover driven was the comeback that made it had to turn into a saving the victory with two overtimes. That was turnover driven. So we know Stephen Castle's instructions. If Mitch Johnson is going to give these types of, this is your summer work, as he goes out the door, it's going to be, get a better handle. We love your aggressiveness. I've seen people say he could be the next Dwayne Wade. And that's probably exaggerating in that when you get so much more focus when you're having a playoff run because so many more eyes are on you. But I put it as a possibility. Castle's really, really fun to watch. But he is a flawed player because he's young, just like Wemby is. And you go, geesh, but would you take away his aggressiveness? Would you? Would you put it at risk if you say, I don't want turnovers? I think not. I think you say, stay aggressive. You're incredible. You have incredible instincts. But just get a better handle. And also, for instance, one of his turnovers later in the game, I can't remember how late, but it was pretty late in game two, where the Spurs kept clawing back and making it a chance, make it possible. And then OKC gets it back to 7 to 11 or 12, is where he did a crossover, but right in front of a good defender. Static. I mean, both of them were static sitting there. And that's not what crossovers are. Crossovers are you're kind of like a pace and a half away from him, and you're setting him up on the move, like you're kind of about to do a little bit of a skip, right? Like you kind of do a little skip move, crossover trick him, go the other direction. But not where you're both standing in front of each other. They're just standing there, both on 2 feet, and he does a crossover. The guy just swipes in the middle of where the crossover is going to go, gets the pick, gets the turnover. So Steph's assignment is going to be better handle and more strategic handle. Other than that, we love you. Everything about what we do, what you do, Steph Castle, is amazing. You are a true number two, if not a number one, on most teams, a la Dwayne Wade. And I'm not putting him in Dwayne Wade's category. I'm just saying, as potential and type, that's the type of guy you've got here. Pretty amazing. And of course, whether it manifests is to be seen. But now with Wemby, I really think this is his deal. Wemby's case of, hey, half the game's defense. really looks stronger and stronger the more you look at him, right? Like, Jokic is just not putting that type of effort on defense, nor does he have the capability. And by the same token, SGA, he doesn't have the capability, right? He doesn't have that defensive capability. He's well over a foot shorter. He just can't. He just can't. And so anybody who therefore can and can put exceptional defensive effort up and results up, like Wimby, if he has any amount of offensive game, you really should consider with that exceptional, he's got offensive game that is above average and way exceptional defense. The argument for MVP is great, but I got no problem with SGA winning the second MVP in a row. But the argument going forward is really, really good. And you could go back to Jordan, and I don't think it really typically entered the conversation, but you remember he was many times a defensive first team. And most people, I'm sure, took that into account, but it wasn't really, you never had to say, yeah, but remember his defensive part, because he was so stellar offensively. But with Wimby, he's not stellar offensively. He's inconsistent, can go up and down. And so defensively, you know, you make that more the primary. Hey, guys, he's pretty good offensively. And you take into account defense, like think of the best defensive player. Think of a Bruce Bowen. Think, I can usually think of his name. Lakers, Oklahoma State this year, has been a defensive player of the year guard. Anyway, him, you know, you go, he's never that offensive. He was finally this year, but back in his defensive player of the year, he's just like, yeah, he can throw some bonus points in. And so, you know, it doesn't make sense that it would be MVP. But, you know, Wimby, it makes sense he can be MVP because he's above average offensively and can explode. And then defensively, he's, you know, one of one right now. And right now already cemented himself as, if you took away the offense and went purely defender, a top 10 defender all time and probably top 5. He's got work to do on that end as well. But his lessons going into the summer, whether they win or not, and they can still perfectly well win. They've got home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals now. So if they can continue to adjust and stop those turnovers, then they can perfectly well win the title this year. That's a crazy thing. But again, looking at Patrick Mahomes as a potential all-timer and therefore looking at where he really is short in his game versus average or versus exceptional players, we can do the same thing with Wimby. And Wimby's problem is this. He is trying to be so fast that it zaps his energy. And so what he needs to do, he's incredible. No one would not take him. At this moment in time, all teams would start a team with him. They would trade 5 assets to do so, the worst teams would. It'd be like, that's okay, we're building it, and we have Wimby, and we're good. But Wimby's issue is this. He puts an incredible amount of effort out on the defensive side. Like, thinking of getting those big-ass legs going to go challenge three-point line guys, the effort he puts out defensively is really, really high. And a lot of the defensive players of the year candidates, they get to rest on the offensive side. You know, maybe be a 3-and-D guy, but certainly not primary. But Wimby does have to be. So what does that mean? His energy expenditure, let alone for someone with his nearly unique frame in the history of the NBA, is so incredibly exceptional, his energy expenditure, because he does put out that offensive energy. And he puts out exceptional defensive energy, sometimes maybe too much. So my lesson for him is going to be watch some of the all-timers and see how they conserve energy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean taking plays off. But there is also like a prioritization of plays. And I see an opportunity right now, and there you go. You get the steal, for instance. You could see it in Jordan's years. You could see, like, You can see he's expending a lot of energy, but then he knows and he's constantly thinking, he's constantly processing on when to, okay, let me get my breath here and let me constantly scout what's the next move to expend more of my energy for a very important pivotal play. And you could see that all the time with Michael Jordan if you look closely. Those last two finals, especially against the Jazz, he was exhausted. It's another three-peat, bro. And yet he never allowed it to go to seven. And so you could see, in a good way, him making strategic decisions on when to expend the energy to peg it to 100 and when not to. When to turn back and let things happen a little bit around him. And right now, Wimby, it's a blessing, right? Because you want that willpower. But he does not have that strategy. And he's got such a good mind. If you give him that lesson and just even point to the idea that he needs to learn that lesson, he'll probably process it and be good. I mean, Wimby's a lot like Patrick Mahomes, high-level processor. As I said, I watched Alex Smith all those years as a significant improvement. And then when Patrick came on, when he's the right offensive coordinator, you could just see he just processes better. He processes for strategic plays just that much faster. As smart in the, in broad-term thinking and not time-crunch thinking that Alex Smith might be, Patrick's processor is just that much faster in rushed time. So I think Wimby has a good processor. He just hasn't really thought about it too much. And on the offensive end, where I see this happening is these high effort offensive plays. Worse, these high effort plays, these high acceleration plays, where then he's too out of control and he falls to the ground. This is a 7'5" dude. Stop falling to the ground. You're not what Russell Westbrook, who is just a human coil. You know, you're not that. All right, change of scenery due to feline co-host insisting on speaking. And that's sometimes driving me crazy. All right, so, yeah, Wimby has to learn to just play slower in order to conserve energy, play under control. For someone who's 7'5", again, I appreciate that he identifies with point guard type skills. I definitely appreciate that he likes to at least try the three-point line. I've talked about his otherworldly green light at the three-point line when he's shooting poorly. But I think some of that is the fact he is trying to conserve energy, because his post play is also too energetic. It is not a composed dribble, move, understand what the defender's doing. It's try to get past everybody faster they can react. And you know there's slow-mo Kyle Anderson and others. It's not about that. There's Jalen Brunson, there's SGA, and all of them can probe and understand where somebody's pressure is on their body, where they have leverage to the basket, where there's nobody else around. Take the shot. And Wimby can do a floater basically from anywhere, if you will, just a low acceleration floater. He's not really running to the basket because he's got so much clearance, especially if they bother to put some guard on them, although in game two they didn't. Probably smartly, they did Isaiah Hartenstein to bulk him, hold him down, by the way, but that's another whole thing. In basketball, you're supposed to be able to reach your arms up in the air for basically every move. So for someone to hold one of your arms down over and over again, I don't know, it seems like a violation. But you know how dipshitty NBA referees are. They have the rule book in front of them and somehow need permission from the NBA, apparently, in between games, and allow whatever new strategy for that whole game. Oh, look, they're doing a different strategy. That's called fouling.
Okay, you don't have to wait for permission from the league afterwards to call the guy's trying to jump to get a rebound and someone's holding his arm down at the elbow with an elbow lock. That's a foul. You don't need permission to call that foul. What are you fucking doing? NBA refs are so fucking retarded. They just are. I hate to be so non-diplomatic, but sometimes you just got to be frank. And that's what they are. So that's what Wimby needs to do. Slow down. You have a size advantage almost unheard of in the history of the league for an offensive, truly offensive player. And when you think about it, all those guys his size were not good offensive players. You could say Yao Ming, maybe. Maybe Yao Ming was a good offensive player. And again, those guys can have short careers. So that's another reason not to go fast and not go to the floor. Yao Ming had a short career, but I don't expect anything like that for Wimby. He's built much more like a gazelle than Yao Ming was. Yao Ming was built like a tree. So for him to be in a game that required movement, it was already kind of an uphill battle. So, you know, Yao Ming had to be slow and had to learn that pace. And, you know, you've got to be quick for a step or a move or a spin. But don't be so quick all the time that every offensive effort outside of a three-pointer is a high acceleration spike type of a effort. You've got the ability with your size to be a Tim Duncan. And there you go. There's your most obvious comp on how to save energy on the offensive end while also being a defensive force. Look at Tim Duncan. I mean, Tim Duncan, yeah, had some moves, but he didn't just try to blow past people for five steps. It was something with a two to three step thing with a little spin and, you know, a fake in one direction, then back in the other direction to open up. That's Wimby's lesson. Slow down. Learn how to conserve energy on the offensive side, because you are putting out unparalleled defensive energy for someone who is also an offensive star, for a person your size with that type of defensive capability. And so, listen, there is an energy max, and I think part of the reason, and maybe part of the reason Mitch allows him and gives him the green light, that he takes those, I'm taking a three anyway because I got the ball in my hands and I should take shots once in a while and I haven't taken one, but I'm tired. You know, other guys would pass. They're not the defensive, they're not the don't have the offensive burden on them. But he takes threes when, even in game two, it was strategically not a great time to take threes. Isaiah Hartenstein had four fouls. He had been your guy that was holding you down, literally and figuratively. Get the foul on him. And I think he finished with four fouls. And a lot of the reason he didn't get the fifth is because you didn't pressure him anymore because you were so tired. And in his head, he's saying, well, my offense isn't there, I'm tired, but I'm always going to rely on defense. I think that's part of it. So you still see him putting out this effort on the defensive end, but the offense was draining away, and especially after the game one. So that's going to be his summer lesson. Learn how to be more energetically efficient, particularly with your offensive game. And he could also probably learn on the defensive side as well. I think he has good enough timing. What was incredible with him was when he would, a couple times in game two, put up, oh, that's going to be a miss. It's going to bounce to the right. And then before you know it, he just easily tipped in, from the right, he would say, it's going to miss to the left. And then he would just easily tip in from the left. You're like, did he just bilocate? So obviously incredible player. But when you think of how he climbs and or more quickly climbs up the pantheon, this is what I'm talking about. Energy efficiency on the offensive side. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Hartley.